24.
Look at us rocking and rolling.
Wow, look at us. We were, I remember when we were at one, wondering how to work Zoom. I'm still adjusting. Yeah. So what
do
you drink?
I don't think that that'll ever come easy.
No. It sounds like you're drinking something. You need a drink. It sounds like you need a drink from what you said.
I did.
Oh. What is that? Birthday cake? Or what is it?
No, that's Jameson.
Oh, is that the logo? What does that say? Stout edition? I can't read it.
Yes. Yeah. It's the Jameson edition. This is the one that they finish in craft beer barrels. So it's
got
a nice essence. And I got I did it with a little ginger ale.
It's a Jameson Ginger Day.
Jameson and Ginger Day.
I have maple, Knob Creek maple, dark bourbon. Today.
Oh, look how dark that is.
Yes. I added something to it that Judy gave me. It's like a bitter, it's a Jack Daniel's bitters. That's a little dark. That made it darker. I don't know. I'm a mini mixologist.
You are just but you're an adventurous one.
I'm gonna see if Tyler what he has to say about that today, because I don't know if I should tell him about my disgusting drink I made last week.
yes, I just want to see his face.
I couldn't finish it.
I don't blame you. I can't even imagine. I don't even think I can eat peach yogurt and drink a cup of coffee, let alone peach schnapps, coffee vodka, and Chambord.
Yeah, too much.
That's an overkill. All right, let's bring him on. I want to see his face when you tell him. Welcome to Tyler. There he is.
Hey! Hello, everybody. How are you?
You look so ready to party.
I am prepared to represent the time that I spent in Savannah for St. Patrick's Day this year.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
That's like a Southern gentleman look.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
After spending five St. Patrick's Day in Savannah, I was finally taught by my girlfriend Emily the proper way to dress and celebrate in the Southern fashion. And I am dressed appropriately.
I am absolutely digging it. It's perfect for mixology, St. Patrick's Day. And a proper barkeep.
Yes. And the bow tie, yes, it is kind of a clip-on, but it is
wood. Doesn't matter.
My mother got it for me and is so thrilled for me to actually be wearing it. So
we're gonna send this link right to her.
I love it.
It looks like we're drinking the same. What are you drinking there?
So I am drinking a very special Irish whiskey highball.
Okay.
Just Irish whiskey and soda water.
Is that with the whiskey that you showed?
Yes. So this is going to be with the whiskey that we're going to be doing our St. Patrick's Day cocktail with, that I will introduce in just a moment. But I'm very thrilled to have it. And there's a whole story about the acquisition of this beautiful spirit.
I have the same one, except mine is a little younger than yours.
Yes.
I tried my hand at some mixology last week.
What did you make?
And I think you're going to frown upon
me. I'm
going to
do this right now. Go ahead, Jay.
She just looked at me when I was explaining it, and then it was so disgusting. I couldn't finish it. I had to get rid of it after the show. I decided I was just going to take a bunch of flavors and see what they did together.
Good.
So I had coffee-infused vodka.
All right.
With Chambord, a splash of Chambord for color, and peach schnapps for fruity.
Yes.
And none of it went together.
Nope.
None of it went together.
Nope.
I know you, I'm like, oh my God, Tyler understands the science behind why these flavors fit. And I just was like, I'm going to put a little of this, a little of that. Let me see what happens. It was not a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
So today I have maple, Knob Creek maple,
there we go.
and bourbon. And your mom had given me Jack Daniel's bitters, which yes. I have really no idea what to do with bitters. But I thought, let me put it in for good measure in the Knob Creek maple bourbon. It's not as disgusting as last week's drink, good. But it's like, okay.
Yep, you're starting to approach the old-fashioned build there. You've got your spirit, you've got the sweetener, however they choose to sweeten it with the flavors. And then the bitters, really what the bitters are there to do is kind of bridge the gap between the really, really like intense flavors of that spirit and then kind of your more like, you're sweet, but kind of your more food relevant flavors. The bitters, though they're very potent, really bridge that gap and allow you to kind of mix two things that may be so diametrically opposed initially that you just taste this and this. The bitters let you taste kind of all of it at once. So good, good cocktail, JD.
So nice to me. You're very nice. Thank you. That's too kind. Okay. I'm going to leave the mixology up to the expert.
Before we start though, I do have a question. What do you find is the most ordered drink on St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh. So outside of everybody asking for green beer.
Well, yeah.
yep, you definitely get your Guinnesses.
Yes.
And then your get a lot of I refuse to use the name, but you get a lot of drinks in which somebody does drop a Bailey's and Irish whiskey mixture into the Guinness, then chugs it.
I'm wondering if that name is like culturally inappropriate.
I would say that though Americans have used it and it's all of that, it was equated from one of my friends as if somebody had a 9/11 bomb.
Yes.
So to call something an Irish car bomb is harkening back to a very culturally sensitive time.
Yes.
And as somebody who's not familiar with it enough, I choose not to use the term because one of my friends has explained to me that there's some significance there. And
big time. Over like here to too. That. Yeah, mm-hmm. Over here they went with it's kind of the same thing, only it's Irish whiskey dropped in Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a straight up car bomb. Doesn't matter where.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You don't have to specify.
Yeah. But those are heavily ordered and they're fantastic to drink. It is a beautiful drink, especially considering the amount that you're consuming and just how good it finishes. It just has that really nice chocolatey up front and a really nice just kind of sweet caramel finish.
Yeah.
Fantastic drink.
Yeah, and it does get you loaded really quick. Mm-hmm. That's usually the primary objective of St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. And that ties into probably the thing that gets most ordered specifically on St. Patrick's Day versus any other time. Is where I took the inspiration for this cocktail, and it is the pickleback. So there is some magical creation that happens when one drinks whiskey, specifically Irish whiskey. I don't know what it is about the malting or something, but as you're getting that kind of like last like malt finish and the spirits are starting to come up into your sinuses and everything, something about pickle juice just clears everything, enhances those flavors, and you're just ready for another one. Like you feel like you could just take.
I really would love, don't you? I think it would be like if we could find out which college campus started that drink.
Right? Oh, and whose idea it was to say, hey, after you drink this, shot of pickle juice is exactly what you want.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Right. Like, on a college campus would you find, you know, people chugging pickle juice after.
Exactly. And then you do it and you realize that something about the acid and the salt. And just kind of the garlic, the savory, just blends really, really well.
Crazy.
And you want another one. And that was kind of when I was thinking about a St. Patrick's Day cocktail, thinking about what do I love most about St. Patrick's Day? And it's one of those times where like, I always forget about picklebacks. And then St. Patrick's Day rolls around. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to drink as many of these as I can and make a good story out of the St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, right. Like I just...
So the pickleback is just the juice to kind of cleanse the palate for the next drink.
That is. So there's a lot of whatever your chaser is, as some people prefer to call it, you would call it a back. So you could get like a vodka with a Coke back, which just means a little shot of Coke next to it, or, you know, a gin with a soda back. I don't think anybody would order either of those, but I would hope not. You know, I guess you could definitely go, you know, a good old rum with a milk back. But the concept is whatever you say blank back is going to be the liquid that you chase the initial drink with.
Yeah. So that your chaser is the back.
Yes. And that does. It refreshes the palate. It's usually something that either very amateur drinkers do to kind of remedy it, or very experienced drinkers who are fighting through something that they've developed a taste aversion to.
But you're working in bars where you don't really get that college crowd, do you?
Not so much the college crowd. So with the one bar at the Great Canary, very, you know, I would say elevated dining, elevated cocktail menu. You do get people order backs a lot, just in general. Like at the end of a meal or something, kind of where we would do a digestive, people still do like a whiskey with a Coke back. Or you do get the people who pop in on the town and just want, you know, a whiskey neat, and they'll order a Coke back, or, you know, somebody will get like a tequila and still want kind of, you know, we call it the training wheels, but, you know, the salt and lime with it. So we still get that. And at the hotel bar, you get a little bit more common. People will want a chaser or water after something or anything like that. But it's not a bad gig. I've found when I'm just tired, or when it's been a couple nights and still trying to keep up with everybody, that the old chaser can keep you going. So
yeah, it does kind of like you feel like you're watering yourself down a little bit with them.
Yes, yeah. Yes. They say to hydrate while you're dehydrated. So
right,
it's exactly. Gotta count somewhat.
That's funny. So with that in mind, we've got St. Patrick's Day right around the corner next week.
Yes.
Next Wednesday. I always feel bad when it falls in the middle of the week like that, because it's some people are going to have a really rough Thursday.
Yeah, it's hard knowing I have to take 2 days of vacation.
Yeah.
Rather than just the one when it falls on a,
that's on a true.
Sunday, Saturday, or Friday. But yeah, so going into that and really tying it back into Savannah, is where Savannah does a fantastic St. Patrick's Day. Literally, like the mayor of Savannah is ranked on their re-election worthiness by how well the parades have been in their under their jurisdiction. You line up. It's like a game day preparation for like a college pregame. You show up at the squares, because Savannah's built around a bunch of squares. And you're not allowed in the squares till about 6 a.m. So you line up at about 2 a.m. and start drinking with your friends. You bring your tents, you bring all of your tailgating gear to the squares. At 6 a.m., the cops blow a whistle and you just mass rush into the squares to gain your place. Because they have a parade that goes through the entire city. So the whole square fills up, and then you don't leave that square. I mean, you wander back and forth once you've got your space, but like once the parade starts, and the parade will go on for hours passing you on your square. So you get there early to claim the right space, and then you're making kind of political and Game of Thrones type agreements with folks about who's going to get their tent where, and wait, those guys showed up 15 minutes later, so we're not going to let them, you know, these people were super cool, so even though they showed up late, we want them near our tent, so we're going to bump this guy out when it runs. And you literally get your four people on each post of your tent and just charge.
Wow.
It is a wild, fun experience.
I'm not even sure they do this in Ireland.
I don't think they do. I think it's an American-Irish thing.
This definitely sounds like Mardi Gras in March, right?
Oh yes, it is. Okay. It is on that level of just insanity. Wow. And it's one of those days where pretty much anything goes. The only thing you can really get in a lot of trouble for is public urination.
Well, that's
it. Everything else is about fair game during that time. So it is a great fun. The city is a blast. People are just so generous and so kind throughout that whole time. It's one big party throughout the entire city. You walk from square to square.
It's an open container city. I know I've mentioned before. So that, I think that's the attraction of that city being that place for that. But
Memphis
never appealed to me. I love Christmas time, Hallmark movie time there, but I've never gone at St. Patrick's Day, so I don't know. It sounds crazy.
You have to add it to the list. You've got to, if you love Savannah, you've got to do a St. Patrick's Day in Savannah. It is a whole
nother. How does Memphis compare, though?
Nothing compares. I'm sure Boston or Chicago is probably a similar level of revelry, but Savannah is always ranked second or third every year with those two. So, I mean,
these are facts I had no idea.
Yeah.
I did not see that. I just thought Georgetown had its crazy St. Patrick's Day. I didn't know the length that Savannah goes to. Wow.
It is insane. And it is all your social clubs and everything prepare for their parade, float like the whole year round and their little shtick and everything. I mean, it is a massive endeavor.
Wow.
Yeah.
A wild time. They used to dye the whole Savannah River green. They stopped that. Because apparently that's, you know, questionable what you use to dye a river green. But
so what do you think will happen this year with the crowds? Like, they didn't do it last year, right?
No, and I believe they're not doing it this year, if I heard correctly. So I believe they canceled the parade 2 years in a row. Gasp. Horrible tragedy in that aspect. But
it's really hard to hear, but I think I kind of equate it like we're so close. Mm-hmm. You know, there's absolutely no sense in spiking the ball on the 5-yard line.
Like, exactly.
Like, wait, you know, let's just wait till we punch it in. And then.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, you know what? With that being said, we'll just have our own party today.
That's what we're going to
yes.
do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tie all of this together with a drink that. So first off, Pickleback inspired me. Then there was a drink at the Artillery Bar in Savannah that I fell in love with, which is very savory, and it utilizes, you know, salt and oil and vodka and everything to kind of make a really savory experience. And they called it a bit of a pickle.
Okay.
So I took the idea of, you know, I had seen this done. It's a really cool idea of a cocktail based off of the ingredients in a pickle. I want to do a pickleback. So I am going to do a deconstructed pickleback Manhattan riff and what goes into it and all of that and what ingredients are used, and found a way to incorporate the majority of those ingredients into a Manhattan style cocktail. Manhattan usually being rye whiskey or bourbon whiskey, depending on which time frame you're going to reference. And then some bitters as well as sweet or red vermouth. So just kind of a simple build, usually stirred, served up in a coupe type cocktail. Very, very potent, very, very well balanced, very fun. So I wanted to take that kind of concept. Yes.
Yeah.
So I am going to, without further ado, start breaking down this bit of a pickleback. And it's going to start.
Are we naming it a bit of a pickleback?
I'm going to name it a bit of a pickleback. Like, I'm going to do something that sometimes happens with cocktail names, where you just completely rip the other person's cocktail name and change one or two things as a way to kind of pay homage and also make fun of the fact that, hey, I'm doing the same thing. So for this, I'm going to start with a very, very special whiskey for me. This is the Dead Rabbit out of New York. They're Irish whiskey. So they are two. As their book says, they're two Belfast boys who took on the world and opened the world's best bar. So they opened the Dead Rabbit Grocery and Grog in New York. I've been there and have had one of the best bar and just dining experiences of my life there. The level of hospitality, care, and just attention to detail that they have was otherworldly. Definitely one of my most memorable bar experiences, period. And I was doing some research for this and found out that they have made an Irish whiskey. So when I was thinking about this ingredient base, I was like, you know what? I love the Dead Rabbit. Want to do this kind of pickleback riff. They made an Irish whiskey. Let's do it.
Right.
It's not distributed to Tennessee.
Oh. So
I could not get it.
How'd you bootleg it there? You bootlegged it.
Yes, yeah, so I made some arrangements with some individuals that I will not name to maintain their innocence, and had the whiskey ordered properly and then bootlegged over to me so that I could use it in this cocktail, because that's how fun, important, and just I think really interesting it was going to be.
Excellent.
Okay, so this is a real, like, you know, Savannah. I heard a lot about the smuggling of alcohol into the ports, So yes. This is really authentic now because you have a little bit of smuggling going on.
Yes.
With your choice of alcohol. Sure.
Yes, with Savannah, okay. Georgia being an original colonial city built around the river, becoming a very prominent port. Absolutely, if you have a port, there's illicit activity that happens at ports. I don't care how much you think your port is safe, if there's a port and there's ships coming through it, there's things that you don't know are coming through on those ships coming through there as well. So I said, let's make a good cocktail with it.
All right.
So we're gonna start this build. This is gonna be a stirred drink. So I'm just putting it into a stirring glass. And I'm gonna start with just 2 ounces of the old Dead Rabbit Irish whiskey. And then the next ingredient, as I was reading through how to make pickles, is they're usually brined with something that starts with the vinegar. So I'm just using a white wine vinegar. Probably can't read it with the glare there, but yep. From Kroger, super crazy, just got a white wine vinegar. And I am going to do a full half ounce of this in there. And that's going to add in a lot of those bittering elements that you would normally get from a bitter type ingredient in a cocktail. It's also gonna take care of the acid, which is that other thing that kind of offsets the alcohol. So I'm not going to put any citrus in here. It's already gonna have enough acid and everything like that. And then just to kind of balance out the amount of like tartness you're gonna get from that acid, I'm doing just a quarter ounce of kind of diluted simple syrup. Instead of 1-to-1, it's about 2-to-1 water to sugar, just a little bit of sweetener.
Okay.
Just because measuring an eighth of an ounce is always kind of, I just don't like doing that all the time.
What's the point in an eighth of an ounce, right?
Yeah, just dilute it a little bit. It's gonna get stirred over ice anyway.
Right.
So
right.
The next ingredient that I'm gonna throw in here to balance this is just some salt. So just some pink Himalayan salt is what I had around the house. It's just salt. And I'm just gonna do a couple cracks of that in there. That is again gonna take a little bit of that kind of bitter acid that you're getting in there, and as it dissociates, it's just going to kind of even it out. It's not going to take it away, it's just going to make it not as harsh when you actually taste it. So far in this cocktail, we have whiskey, we have salt, and we have vinegar.
This is like fish and chips dinner. That's all it's missing is the fish and chips,
right.
So point of shame, I lost my bar spoon somewhere, so I'm stirring with the chopstick.
Okay. Oh.
We do as like I say, not as I do.
Improvisation.
I like it.
Yes. So again, just stirring, emulsifying all the ingredients.
I think I have everything in the house that you, so now I feel like normally with the bitters and the this and the that, like I don't have that kind of stuff. So it's hard for me to make a cocktail, but I think I have everything. My vinegar is rice vinegar, rice wine vinegar.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll work.
So I'm going to pour there. I'm not sure if a rice one will work. It probably will. You just have to change the proportions, but yeah. So you get this nice, crisp, clear, again, everything's almost the same color. So it's just this nice kind of golden color.
That's a beautiful drink. Wow. Yes.
So now we talked about pickles. So as you've noticed, I've only used vinegar and salt so far. So another key ingredient when you're making pickles, at least the kind that I enjoy, is going to be dill.
Yes.
I've got a dill garlic oil that I've been infusing for a couple days. And I'm going to, pretty much the rest of the drink is going to be garnish. But it's still going to, so I'm just going to throw some of that oil on there. That's going to add a lot of aromatics. When you go to drink this, you're going to smell that dill. You're going to smell that garlic. It's going to tie in nicely with some of the acid that you've got. You're really starting to get into a savory realm of drinking. And then, because I like spicy pickles, we're going to just do a couple cracks of pepper over this.
Nice.
And what is a pickle without the cucumber?
Right.
That's the pickle part. Yeah.
I just wanted you to know that it took me until I was 17 to learn that a pickle was a cucumber.
Yes.
I thought a pickle was grown from pickle seeds.
I don't think I knew that either, Denise.
You know, I don't realize it. Every now and again, it'll pop up in my head when I'm at the store or something. Like, oh, that's a cucumber. But I will eat pickles and I will eat cucumbers and like have moments of clarity where I'm like, yes. You're the same thing.
Yes, I worked in a deli. My mother owned a deli. I sliced 5-gallon drums of pickles, you know, from 5 p.m. till 9 p.m. You know, that was like my job. Oh, ordering big wholesale pickles and reading the ingredients. So I was stunned to learn that there were cucumbers in there.
Absolutely. Oh, that is fun. That's a fun question. When did you realize to ask people, like, when did you realize that cucumbers and pickles were the same thing?
Yeah, I was a little old because I just remember running out there and being like, guys, they were all like, oh my God, yeah.
Yes. Oh. Weren't you like the pickle slicing champion, Denise? Well,
yeah.
The title?
Yeah. Yeah, when that's all you do, when that's pretty much your job, you become a champ.
So then to finish it off, so I've got my cucumber, I've got my dill garlic oil, I've got my salt and pepper. But just because the garnish is always important, just yes. A little dill leaf over the top.
Fresh dill. Oh, that is lovely.
So it's a gorgeous little savory, warm cocktail. It is going to be a little bit bitter, obviously. There's not a lot of sugar in there. What I would suggest if you try it, it's not to taste, to add just a little bit more sugar. But
that's a beautiful drink. I feel like having one now. Like I want one now.
Absolutely.
I have to make it.
Now you just have to eat a pickle to cure that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. But no, it's very fun. It is. It's going to be very savory. Again, you can always bump up the sweetness a little bit on it. But I was fiddling around with this, and now I've drank like 15 of them throughout the week. Just got to hone it in, and I found out that I just really like them.
I feel like if you add like more sugar to that, basically it's a gherkinback.
Yep, you know, exactly.
Nobody wants a Birkenback,
right?
Nickelback.
Exactly.
It's in the name of science. You have to have many of them over the week.
Absolutely. So it's research.
Test them out.
That's occupational hazard for a mixologist.
Yeah, it was fun slowly learning that a practice cocktail still count as cocktails when you're drinking them. so after try seven, you realize you should probably stop trying because you're not getting any new data. You're just, that one tastes great. There's nothing wrong with that. Why did I think the last one was bad?
Like, what kind of job, like, really, seriously, that you could drink your mistakes like they didn't even happen?
Yeah. They're gone.
Yep. Don't even know what you're talking about. Perfect.
The only closest thing to that, to drinking on the job, is being a musician where you're encouraged to drink on the job. Not only are you allowed to drink on the job, you're encouraged to drink on the job. Because the bar wants to make money, so you never refuse that drink.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
The fans want to buy you drinks all the time.
And fans want to buy you drinks, and you cannot insult them and not accept it. So
it would be bad business to not accept it.
Yeah.
Like this is, so, I can picture having one of these and a big fat like corned beef sandwich on rye.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. How
good would that be?
It would be fantastic.
On a pretzel, maybe a pretzel bun.
And a pretzel bun.
Right off the pretzel would be
mustard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would go so good. And what a classic and fantastic St. Patrick's Day that would be.
Yes.
You know?
And that's one of the things that's fun. I've been experimenting with more savory cocktails meant to be paired with food. In fact, at the Great Canary on Monday, we're doing a cocktail dinner. It's going to be five properly sized cocktails with five courses, with the cocktails made specifically in balance to match with those courses.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, at my pub, we used to do that on like once a month. Mm-hmm. Our chef, like, even though he was slinging pub food, he would come up with these amazing tasting menu things and the cocktails. And, you know, I don't know if it's just because, you know, you're in England, but the cocktails were normally gin based, you know, and always at, like, you know, depending on what the meals were, you had like the rosemary one or the basil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just, it was a really different kind of night.
Yeah.
You know, close up the dining room, charge, and, you know, crazy prices.
Yep.
And then for me, it was like the hardest night because, you know, like once you bring out the first course, by the time you've handed out the last plate, then you're going back to the first table and picking up the empty plates.
Yes.
And here, you know, every course you get new silverware.
Yep.
Right.
Trying to keep up with giving them like a knife and a fork and a spoon, and they like every single time, and it was nuts. But it was always, I felt like it was always like a learning experience, because that part of it was so interesting to me, like what kind of drink they were going to pair with this menu of things that, you know, I hadn't heard of half of these things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, it's nice. That's a nice thing to get into, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like how mixology and alcohol compare with food and really mm-hmm. raise the level and you know, of everything, the alcohol and the food.
It's a fun challenge. It's a fun change of pace. Again, when you're pairing cocktails with food, kind of like with wine, you don't want like a sweet wine with a lot of food. So you want to start working on the cocktails, and that's what's been fun. Is we have an Amaro based cocktail, we've got a rum cocktail, vodka cocktail, we have a Pisco cocktail, so a Peruvian brandy, and then a bourbon cocktail. So I mean, we've got the whole gambit of cocktails ran there.
You get a cocktail with each course?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. We got one.
Yeah.
So you have a cocktail to complement each course.
And elements of the cocktail, the kind of savory or flavor elements of the cocktails pair with each of the courses. We've got cocktails that highlight everything from leek ash, like the leek kind of onion, to ginger, pineapple, pepper. I mean, just kind of through everything to highlight the elements in these various dishes. So. Wow. It hasn't happened yet, so I can't give too much information. I will give away
that's
the fun.
Really, like, that's incredible, though. I went to a you know, like a Michelin starred restaurant when I first moved here. It was 200 pounds a couple, you know, that kind of thing. There was a cheese board that wasn't included that was 100 pounds, with all different
wow. cheeses.
But like all the different wines that went with each thing.
Yeah, you wish you had a notebook.
Yeah, exactly.
That can be exhausting and confusing all at the same time.
And we had the nerve to have drinks later on in the lounge. Like we were doing limoncello and like at end of the night things, so worth it.
But a good experience.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
You needed to sample the merchandise. You needed to have it all so that way you could check it out.
Yeah, you want to be well versed on these things. Like I couldn't tell you one cheese that was on that board, but you know. But I just
know remember the experience,
right? The wines that were incredible. I think everything's going to start opening up in April, so we're all kind of like,
oh really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to not wearing slippers. I gotta tell you, be huge.
That's awesome. Have you tried the shoes to make sure they still fit?
I have. It's not a pleasant experience. I'll tell you that. Yeah. So I actually have like boots that are like slippers.
Okay, good.
And I'm going with that. Kind of like Uggs, but like hard bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to stick with those till summer.
You got to ease the feet back into it. They've been well taken care of so far. And then they have to go back into those shoe things.
Yeah, yeah. And pajama bottoms, you know, like, oh my God, I got to like put jeans on for real. Man, this is going to be rough. It's going to be a hard reentry. I could tell.
So Tyler, when you're bartending, and especially on like St. Patrick's Day, a big day, do people buy you drinks? Because when we're playing music, people buy us drinks. But do you buy the bartender a drink, like to do cheers and you know toast?
So absolutely, I do not accept drinks when I'm at the bar.
When we got bought drinks, we would ring it up and then we would put that receipt in a cup.
Yes.
And then we could have those drinks after our shift.
Yeah.
Oh,
we couldn't drink on shift. Yeah. Yeah.
So we follow similar policies depending on who's buying the drink as well.
Yeah. Because our regular would do that every now and then. Are you expecting like a big crowd or like a heavy drinking night or?
Considering it's on a Wednesday and with how things have been going, is it Wednesday? What day is it?
Yeah.
It is a Wednesday. Okay. Whew. All right. I'm supposed to know that. Considering it's a Wednesday and how that goes, it'll probably pop off for a little bit, but we're not necessarily expecting a huge roll through. If we were on Beale Street or some of the spots in Midtown where the kind of crawl stuff is a lot more prevalent, that would be one thing. But Eight and Sand, the hotel bar that I work at as well, we have very interesting late nights. So now that Memphis has everything open till midnight, I would expect the back end of that night to get very has the potential to get very interesting. And that's what's fun. So again, we don't have anything specifically planned. So I don't know if, you know, we're going to have the DJ on that night or anything like that. But I do know that we get some very last stop tours that we enjoy. And a lot of our regulars do like to have their nightcap. They live in the area. They come to us last. So I expect to see some chicanery, but nothing. We're not planning on anything over the top as of yet.
Well, that's good. That'll be fun. I think Jay, you and I are spending St. Patrick's Day with Lucy and Mandy Burton of Eek.
Yes.
And Eek.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
So we will have we'll have a few drinks with them. That'll be fun.
That'll be a blast.
Yeah.
Will we be brave enough to make the pickle drink? So is this called A Bit of a Pickle? Is that the name of the drink?
It is A Bit of a Pickle Back, because A Bit of a Pickle is a drink that a friend of mine made.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I just stole the name entirely.
Okay. A bit of a pickle back.
Yep. The hard pause is appreciated.
Yeah, we like the hard pause. I like that. Yep. Yeah.
Definitely has a comma after A Bit of a Pickle.
We'll do three dots. Dot dot dot.
maybe we try it. Maybe we try the bit of a
pickle. You should try it.
Back for that day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that's something we could talk Lucy into. Mandy's not much of a drinker at all. Mm-hmm. Like, she might have a shandy, you know, right? That's like lemonade, fizzy lemonade in a beer. Oh, so she might have a shandy, but Lucy's the one that I feel like we could probably talk her into that.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna see, like, I'll get the ingredients ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyler, make sure you email her the ingredients.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I will.
That'll be fun. Juice. It'll be experimental.
Yeah, I'll be pickle juice, coffee infused, vodka. No,
you're never bartending at any of our parties.
No,
that's why I never cook.
Yes, but hey, every failure is a lesson learned, and that's equally as important.
I knew Tyler would be supportive of my attempt.
I just was like, I couldn't even believe you took a couple of sips, really. I was like, what she won't do for like those on the air ratings.
I'm trying to pretend, you know. I was like, oh my God, this is disgusting. I threw it down the drain right when I went inside.
This is something we never have to worry about when Tyler's on the show.
Right.
Perfect. Well, mister, it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been
so fun. I'm really excited about trying to give this a try. I really am. This is one of the things I've done.